The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross & Schuster.
News Radio Pensacola. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Jake Walker. On the phone, I have Terrence A. Gross. He is a personal injury attorney here in Pensacola. You can find them at grossandschuster.com, 850-434-3333. Mr. Gross, how you doing this morning?
Great, Jake. And I want to give him the number once again. We have an echo.
Hold on. Let me see here. I know we had Bobby Rossi remoting in this morning, so some of the controls got switched. You still hearing it?
Let's see. Much better.
Perfect. Okay. All right.
It's back.
Yeah. I'll work
Everything
on it.
Everything I said is repeated.
Yeah. Let me do some figuring on this and see what I can do for you. If it's not too much, if you can go ahead and keep talking, I will try to figure this out for you.
Well, good. I always come with a topic, and this topic today is going to be, it's very difficult, Jake. I can't, because everything I say is being repeated pretty loudly.
Okay, hold on here. Let me see.
Now, I think you may have hit it.
I think I got it. I found the button. There we go. We're good.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, so I come with a topic, and the topic today is pretty much unintended consequences. Unintended consequences. So if you think about what goes on in Tallahassee, the legislature meets, the insurance companies have a monster lobby, and every year they try to pass something that they think is going to hurt trial lawyers because they're trying to keep lawsuits down, to limit lawsuits, to limit the recoveries of injured parties. Well, Florida, my entire career, has what we have called a four-year statute of limitations. That means you get a case, you have 4 years in which to file suit. In the eyes of the insurance companies, that's way too long because these lawyers could just plan and plot and whatever. We need to shorten this, and this will cut the legs off these lawyers, and that's their thought process. Mm. So they moved it recently, last year, to a two-year statute of limitations. But when I'm talking about the law of unintended consequences, the point I really want to make is this is going to totally backfire on insurance companies, and it's going to backfire on the court system to a point that the judges are going to be furious. And yet they probably will blame the scapegoat, and the scapegoat is who? The plaintiff's lawyer. Mm-hmm. So here's the point I want to make. And before I make my point, let me give you a true life example.
Okay.
I have a dear friend of mine. He is a personal injury lawyer in New Orleans. Everything we do is about the same. I represent people for car wrecks. He does too. So our practices are very similar. He's a very good lawyer. But every time I talk to him, he's in court. He's got depositions. He's got hearings. I go, dude, what the heck is going on? And he goes, 90% of my cases are in litigation. I go, what? I say, only 15% of mine are in litigation. What's going on here? Well, I just didn't factor in that Louisiana's got a one-year statute of limitations. That means if you don't file a lawsuit, for 1 year, there is no case.
Wow.
So it forces him, even if the case is premature, it's not ready, he's not even ready to settle, he has to file a lawsuit, and then it gets caught up in the system, and then the defense lawyers get in there, and they want to do this, and subpoena this, and deposition this, and because of that, his workload is heavy, and of course, that puts more work on the judges. Mm. Well, now they've gone to a two-year statute in Florida. Now, let me explain something to you, because I'm kind of a mixed breed. I mean, I can be diplomatic, and if I can settle a case without a lawsuit, it's good for me. It's good for my client. It's less cost. It's less stress. and whatever, but some cases you just don't have the accident and within a very short period of time know what it's worth or what the value is. Mm-hmm. And here's a very common scenario, Jake. You get involved in a car wreck. Your neck hurts a little bit at the scene. You decline the ambulance. You wake up the next morning and your neck is on fire and you've got some numbness in your fingers. And you go to the ER to say, well, nothing's broken. Take some Advil, do some hot and cold compresses. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're frustrated. So then you may try a chiropractor. Your friends have gone to chiropractors. You try that. And maybe that does help a little bit, but not enough. And maybe you get a pain doctor and he's giving you injections, and then you get MRIs, and all of a sudden MRIs are showing herniated disc. And then you go in for a surgical consultation. But meanwhile, this just didn't happen all in a week or two. This happens month after month. So it may be 9 months after the wreck when you first see this spinal surgeon.
Mm.
And the spinal surgeon says, well, you may need surgery, but let's just don't jump into it. Let's try some conservative measures first. Let's try more injections. Here's some more medications. And maybe we'll try physical therapy and see if that helps. And here's some bracing or whatever they do. And then another 6 months or 8 months goes by, and you're starting to realize this ain't going away. I've tried chiropractic. I've tried injections. I've tried pills. I've tried everything. And it's only getting worse. So you go back to the surgeon, and he goes, well, then, there's only one other alternative, and that's surgery. And he starts describing, you know, we're going to have to put plates and screws in there. And the average person, I mean, that's pretty scary. I mean, you just don't jump into surgery, especially spinal surgery. And so some people go home and they think about it. They want a second opinion or the whatever. And usually it could be a year or two or three later, then they end up in surgery. And these surgeries cost about $100,000. So anytime I think somebody's a surgical candidate, I tap the brakes on my case. I take my time because I know just from breathing air and being a lawyer that a case that has had surgery is probably going to be worth three times the case where no surgery has taken place. More bills, more pain and suffering. How in the world can they call you a faker if you've got plate and screws in your neck from a car wreck? So it happens in, you know, a lot of my cases, but it just people just don't have an accident and end up in surgery in 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 months. It's a period of time where they're trying all the conservative options because the surgery certainly is the last resort.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, even the people who are scared. I've had people say, I'm scared to death of surgery. And inevitably, I have found out that they've succumbed to it because they've gotten so tired of the pain and their lifestyle changes and just the agony and the frustration affecting your work, affecting your sleep, and affecting your sex life, all aspects. And people finally just say, you know what, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to have the surgery. And but oftentimes, that's 2, 3, 4 years later, and I've held cases and then finally settled and never filed a lawsuit. Well, now what's going to happen, and a lawyer can't wait up to the day before the statute of limitations to file a lawsuit, so any competent lawyer is probably going to file suit at least 2 months before statute of limitations because you don't want to get close. You want to make sure you have the proper defendants named and served and so forth. So you're talking about a short window. So what it's going to do now, it's going to take conservative lawyers like me who are not sue happy, who are not ambulance chasers, Jake, and it's going to force me to file lawsuits prematurely and a lot more lawsuits. And then the system's going to get more clogged up and the judges are going to bitch and guess who they're going to blame? The plaintiff's lawyers, because they're the ones filing the lawsuits. But the legislature's making us.
Right.
So conservative lawyers like me who aren't soon happy, who within 4 years I could settle 85% of my cases, I'm going to go from an 85% settlement with no lawsuit as far as the cases I handle to probably 50-50. I bet you in 50% of the cases, so this law started in March 24th to 23. So I've already looked at my book, and I have plenty of April, May, and June accidents that, you know, come next, early next winter, like come February, I'm probably going to be filing just a loss of lawsuits, even if I haven't negotiated, just because I can look at that statute of limitations. And once you file the lawsuit, that tolls the statute of limitations. So it's no longer a problem, but now you're in a lawsuit. And a lot of these insurance defense lawyers, they don't want to settle right away because they get paid by the hour. And, of course, truthfully, they don't know anything about the case anyway, so they want to do what's called discovery, which means depositions and subpoenas and hearings and so forth. And usually they don't want to talk money for a year because they want to investigate. They want to subpoena every record, you know.
Right.
And they get subpoena power once you file suit. So it's going to totally, totally overload this system. Mm. And the judges are going to be irate.
Right.
And some people are going to want to blame the plaintiff's lawyers, but the blame is the legislature doing this at the behest of the insurance companies. Because you weren't down there, Jake, you weren't down there lobbying the legislature to go from a 4-year statute of limitations to 2.
No.
But yet, that's the reality.
Mm-hmm. We do have a caller on the line real quick. This is a caller text in show, 850-437-1620. If you have questions for Terrence A. Gross. Caller, are you on the line?
I'm here.
All right. What's your question?
I appreciate you taking the, I'm taking the time. I'm listening to you, Mr. Gross, and I'm like, does he have my file right in front of him? This is amazing.
Yeah.
Everything that you have discussed, I have gone through with the exception of the mediation, but you've hit the nail right on the head. My case was filed 4 years ago this month. The accident was 5 years, will be November, 5 years ago. That's how long it takes.
Wow.
And it's a sad situation. Yeah, no work, you know, no funds. I go to churches for handouts. It's really kind of sickening, but anyway, you hit the nail on the head, so the listening audience, pay attention. This man is a longtime professional and knows what the heck he's talking about. And cross my fingers, hope something good happens. But right now, mediation has come to the situation of we'll pay all your bills and give you $10,000. In the meantime, I've got my neck fused in 2 different spots. I was like, no, that's not going to work. Yeah. But anyhow, love your show. Appreciate everything you do for the greater, I guess, would be the panhandle. Mr. Gross, you're a great man, and thank you very much. And y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Yeah, thank you for listening. All right.
Just brought up another part. Go ahead, Jake.
I was just going to say, 850-437-1620. Get your questions in. We got about 10 minutes left with Terrence A. Gross. Yeah, he brought up a real-life situation to talk about here.
Well, let me go a little bit further, because what he brought up, here's the other problem. So I'm going to add to my conversation based on what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked about being forced to file a lawsuit. But now, if we quadruple the amount of lawsuits that we have, that's what's going to happen, because, you know, lawyers like me that, you know, if I have 75 cases, I usually only have 10 or 15 in litigation. I bet you this time next year of my 75 cases, half will be in litigation. And I'm just one lawyer out of 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to totally overload the system. So here's a guy that's already told you how it's dragged out. These judges, by the way, let me just tell you about trial dockets. Let me tell you the way they treat personal injury cases in Florida. So contrary to popular belief, everybody believes, oh, there's an insurance crisis, these lawyers and lawsuits and whatever. Mm-hmm. Most judges spend most of the time handling criminal matters and family law. That's the reality. So they don't even give much time for personal injury cases, and the average judge sets aside 1 week every 2 months. So that means out of 52 weeks a year, they only have 6 weeks that are set aside to hear personal injury cases. And depending on what kind of case you have, now if you've got like a rear-end car wreck and whatever, not a complex case, you could probably try that case in 2 or 3 days. So maybe a judge could try 2 personal injury cases in 1 week. That would be it. If it's a medical malpractice case, may need a whole week, or some other complex case, you may need another week. So at the end of the day, they don't have a whole lot of time set aside to hear the personal injury cases, so they're already backed up. So right now they got backed up with COVID. They're trying to work through that. And now you're going to have this where people like me are going to quadruple the amount of lawsuits. The judges are already complaining that they don't have enough manpower. They're trying to recruit more judges. And because they are overworked and underpaid, a lot of people don't want to become judges, or if they do, it used to be in the old days, if you became a judge, you were a judge till you retired at 70. Now I'm seeing a lot of these young prosecutors that come in at 40, and by the time they're 50, they're saying, I'm out of here, and they're back in private practice. It's not the panacea that they thought it was. So the thing is totally overloaded. It is broken, but it's not broken because of people like me. It's broken because of the legislature that is doing everything that the lobbyists for the insurance companies want. And part of the problem is it's creating more lawsuits. Mm. It's generating more lawsuits. And we're back to my topic, the law of unintended consequences. Mm. And that's the consequence. So they're going to blame us. Well, I bet you'll be on the news and, you know, as it hits them, as the courts get bogged down. So here's a man that's already been waiting. What's it going to be like several years from now? I just had a meeting with the judge. I met up with the judge last March, and I said, Judge, I am ready for trial. Give me a trial date. I got February. I mean, 11 months later. So I was at the thing. I said, we're ready to go. We've done our depositions. We've done our subpoenas. We've got everything. We're ready to be heard, and the soonest date we can get was February, 11 months later. Mm. And it's only going to get worse now. It's right. Only going to get worse.
Mm. And like you said, you know, we can't go and lobby. You know, the insurance company have all these people and all that money and all those resources to do that. And they're just banking on the fact that, you know, and you mentioned on the last show how few board-certified injury lawyers there are in the whole country.
Well, I can't speak for the country, but the state.
Right.
In the state of Florida, there's less than 2,000 now. Mm. Out of 100, maybe 20,000 lawyers, there's less than two that are board-certified civil trial. Now, there's board-certified divorce lawyers, there's board-certified criminal lawyers, and board-certified estate planning lawyers. But as far as board-certified civil trial, which that's what a personal injury lawyer is, actually is a civil trial lawyer, there's less than 2,000.
Wow.
But at the end of the day, nobody, I wish they'd be getting input. Not that I know everything, but I've been doing this for 45 years. And right away, I said, 2 years, that's like going backwards. Why would you want to take your system and go backwards? 4 years was a good amount of time, and it helped. That 4 years helped avoid lawsuits. Now they're going to double or triple the amount of lawsuits. That's my prediction. And only time will tell.
Right.
And then the whole, the system's just going to be all messed up. And maybe we'll lose more judges. And there's just so much time in a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unintended consequences. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and it's just another example, and I can give you example after example that we have in the system.
It's the caller that called in. I mean, he's in year five of this and is still not done. So this is, you know, these people are going through a major season in their life that, you know, could take everything from them. And this is only going to make things more complicated, make it harder. And, you know, like you said, you may not know the extent or what something is worth and how that's going to affect somebody only, you know, 11, 12 months from the scene of the accident.
Correct. Because it sometimes, you know, these injuries just keep on getting worse and worse and worse. You know, I got a lady right now that needs the surgery, wants the surgery, but she has a pancreas problem. So she can't even have a traditional hospital. So they said the only spinal surgeons that would see her would be like the Ochsner's Clinic in New Orleans or the Shands in Jacksonville. You can't go to West Florida or Baptist because she has other health issues that could compromise her life. That she's a high-risk surgical candidate, in other words. Mm-hmm. So she wants the surgery. It hasn't taken place. The entity that hit her has a really big insurance limit, and I'm not about to let them off the hook,
right?
You know, for chump change on a case like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, the insurance companies are just banking on that fact because, you know, I've had to wait. I think the last time I had to wait for just a checkup at my doctor was about 8 months. I mean, they were booked up. I had to find another provider, actually, to do my annual checkup. And I can't imagine having to get on a list for a surgery, a major surgery like that. So it just takes time. And 1 year is just not enough to get it done. 2 years is even pushing it. And I totally agree with you. This is going to just cause chaos in the system. It might keep people from even thinking about filing a lawsuit.
Well, but I think what's going to happen, and I got people that most people don't want to sue. The average right. client I get does not want to sue. But again, you heard this man, he's already had the surgery. They said his offer that they've given him is they'll pay his bills and give him $10,000 for pain and suffering. Does that sound like a good deal for a surgery, a spinal fusion?
No.
Are you kidding me? No
mm-hmm.
wonder he hasn't settled.
Right. Right.
Anyway, I guess we're getting close to being out of time, but this is Terrence Gross. I'm lucky enough to have my three sons as my law partners. We do have five offices to serve the whole First Judicial Circuit. In other words, Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton counties are the same circuit. We share judges. We have the same public defender. We have the same state attorney. And we have offices in Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Mary Esther, and the Bar. Because we love meeting people face to face and so forth. So we I've only worked in the Panhandle. We are a Panhandle law firm, and we handle exclusively personal injury with a special emphasis on car wrecks, slip falls, trip falls, and the occasional dog bite.
If someone out there is listening and they want to get into trial law, or if they want to maybe be a judge one day, what advice do you have for them? Where should they get started?
Well, you got to go to law school first is a good idea.
Right.
And then after that, most of the judges, it seems like they're appointing prosecutors. I guess they get a lot of criminal experience, and they do get a lot of trial experience into many people that are wearing the white hat. So it seems like most of the judges, most of the young lawyers that are becoming judges now have come from the
prosecution side. All right. GrossAndSchuster.com. Go check them out today, 434-3333. Thank you.
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.